T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And good morning, everybody. Good to have you with us as we get rolling on a Thursday. Hurdle and Savage with you for the next couple of hours, talking all things fit to discuss, we hope, in the world of sports. Maybe, Paul, even some things that might not be fit to discuss.
That may happen.
We're going to talk about them anyway because they amaze us, or they tantalize us, or they confuse us, which in our case could be probably more likely than anything else. But so it goes. We're going to do it for the next couple of hours. How are you today?
I'm good. How about you, big boys? Getting ready to fight the storms again today. We've got enough rain around here. Rain, go away. But you know something? We'll have to deal with it. But gee, many Christmas over the course of the next couple of days. It's not going to get any better. That flooding is,
have you ever seen anything like it?
Boy, we've seen it.
You are a born and raised, South Central Kansas guy. We've seen these types of patterns before.
Yeah, we have.
Sound too meteorological, but. But my goodness, this is just incredible. Things are being just washed away.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, yeah, we've seen big rains before and flooding before. I mean, it's happened and it will continue to happen. But the thing that strikes me is we haven't had a lot of tornado activity. I mean, and I'm just speaking off the cuff. I mean, I don't have any stats or anything. But, we've had one or two tornado warnings. And for guys' sakes, we're almost through the month of May. So really and truly, from violent storms, we've probably been a little lucky. We're having some flooding. There's no question that affects a lot of people. But we're Kansans. We deal with that kind of stuff. It's not foreign to us. And we're a tough lot. And if you say anything bad, we'll just belt you in the mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. That was a reference to Clint Boyer. I'm sorry. I apologize for that. But anyway.
You're nothing if not timely, Savage.
Yes, there you go. But I mean,
Chiefs are in the midst of OTAs right now. We've seen this before too. Little interesting. How much you ever derive out of OTAs, organized team activities, is at your own peril.
That is right.
For football geeks. For football geeks, it's football, so you like it for that. Even if guys are running around in shorts and helmets, no pads, there's no hardly reasonable facsimile of football. You can get into 7-on-7. You can get into some team drills, but defensive guys don't get to hit offensive guys. And there's no there's no contact other than just straight hands up front in the trenches. So it's not really football, but you get to get out for a course of about 3 weeks, 3 days of the 3 days of the week, work on some things. And in the Chiefs' case, when you're switching from the 3-4 to the 4-3, and you've got Steve Spagnuolo's now taking over as the defensive coordinator, a very animated character in contrast to the very buttoned up Bob Sutton. You've got some other things going on. Tyreek Hill in flux. No Kareem Hunt. Mitch Morse is now gone, a piece out of the offensive line. Chris Jones not showing up for OTAs, trying to figure out Mecole Hardman, the first-round draft pick out of Georgia, what he looks like as a slot receiver, trying to guard against the potential loss of a Tyreek Hill, I guess. So I guess really there are probably more things going on in Kansas City than there are a lot of places around the NFL.
Well, there are. And here's the one thing about these kind of situations in the NFL, OTAs and all these kind of things. Bad things seem to always happen. I mean, just in the last few days, how many reports have we gotten with guys getting tweaked and literally guys carted off? I mean, we've seen at least three instances of at least minor injury, maybe even major injury. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. And here's the thing. you want to bring the DBs and the receivers out and the backs out and the quarterbacks out, and you want to go 7-on-7, have at it. Go have at it. Why bring D linemen out? Why bring offensive linemen out? Why do those kind of things? All they're going to do is, as you said, skip around and stretch in their shorts. They can't attack each other. There's no pads. You can't get really better as an O-lineman or a D-lineman. Do you think O-linemen like coming out there to those kind of things? Let me tell you. They like recliners. That's what they like. They want to be watching ESPN and see what's going on in their recliner. That's what they do. But if you want to have 7-on-7, knock yourself out. You want to do those kind of things. And by the way, I'm not so sure that that's all that bad, because there's a lot of things that you need to learn about new players, you know, people you've drafted, people you've signed as free agents, people that maybe you've traded for, whatever.
I hear you.
And 7-on-7 is a great time to do those kind of things. It doesn't help you as an O-line or as a D-lineman, but go out there and knock yourself out with 7-on-7.
Paul, do you learn more looking at film of a guy or seeing him go through the motions in a non-contact kind of situation like OTAs are? I mean, I guess from a receiver standpoint, you get to see cuts. You get to see route. I get it from a skill possession standpoint, a position standpoint. Quarterbacks, receivers can work on timing. College receivers who don't come in always particularly refined or sharp in their route running in particular, because you don't have to be as much in college as you do in the NFL. You've got to be precise in your route running, and there's an art to it. I suppose that those are the types of things that you can gain in OTAs. If you're making a switch from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and certainly when you have new assistant coaches, learning that dynamic, that can be valuable. So I get that. But for instance, can you learn more about looking at film of a player than outside of the receivers, say, and outside of the quarterbacks? Because that's a different thing. I think OTAs are for quarterbacks and receivers, to be honest with you. But can you learn more just watching film than you can of new guys coming in on the offensive or defensive lines when you're watching an OTA?
You're asking me that question, but you know the answer to that, and that is film is so valuable. But film yes. tells all. The eye in the sky never lies. That's what we say, and that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. No, you get more out of film in game conditions and those kind of things, and even on film in practice with pads. You can, all NFL teams record every moment of every drill, of every second of practice, and you can get more out of film on those kind of things. But you're right. This is valuable time, particularly with new players coming into a system with quarterbacks and receivers. Yeah, timing's everything. When do you break on a route? When do you release mm-hmm. the ball on a route? I mean, I'm not saying that it's not valuable. I'm just saying, call it what it is basically make it 7-on-7 camp, and then you'd be fine, and everybody would be happy. Injuries would be cut down. I mean, you'd probably still have some. I mean, there are still going to be a knee or two here or there that gives out, or an ankle rolls, or, you know, whatever else happens. A finger is jammed. You know, all kinds of things can happen when even in 7-on-7 sure. drills. But, I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. This is sort of so overplayed, so overblown. It's incredible. But there is a value to it. I don't want to poo-poo the whole thing. There is value in what they're doing. It mm-mm. just doesn't need to be as massive. And it certainly doesn't demand the amount of speculation and research and observation and discussion probably right. that you and I are even giving it this morning here. But here we are. What are we doing? Two guys in right. Wichita, Kansas, talking about, you know, OTAs and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's what we're doing, isn't it?
Well, it's particularly interesting for the Chiefs because they've got some key coordinator changes.
Yes. Okay. Yep. All right.
And I think that they are generally, I think generally, Paul, they're considered the team to beat in the NFL. So from that standpoint, it's kind of interesting to mull over. It gives us a chance, for instance, to think about Patrick Mahomes. How much of a step forward does he take in year two? If you believe the almost cliche that the biggest jump from a rookie to the NFL is from year one to year two. Well, how much more does Patrick Mahomes have to jump? My question to you is, now that there's a book on Patrick Mahomes, will it be tougher for him to make that jump? Because he's not going to surprise any NFL defensive coordinators this year. Now, my sense is that his ability is enough. Just defending him even when you know what's coming is hard enough.
Yeah.
But is there something to that, that Mahomes might have a chance, might have difficulty making a jump simply because the NFL is a league of continual adjustments, game to quarter to quarter, game to game, week to week, season to season?
Mm-hmm. I think enough has been written on Patrick Mahomes to understand that if you're a coordinator on another NFL team, it may be that there's not a lot you can do to affect Patrick Mahomes himself, but you can do some other things to affect the game around him, and that might be put pressure on him as a quarterback. It might be to combo receivers. It might be to run zone here or run some man combined with zone or to disguise coverage, I mean, which NFL teams do. It may be not so much as to what can you do about Patrick Mahomes, because he's a unique talent. And by the way, I'm so proud of myself. Every once in a while, even I get something right. I was happy and excited, and I was a big proponent of drafting Patrick Mahomes, if you remember correctly. Finally, I got something right in nearly 20 years of radio. So I am proud of that. But there's things that you can do, and I love your question. I love your question. But it's rare that we get to say this, that you see a talent that you can actually say, golly, I just don't know what you do about Patrick Mahomes. But I know that there's things you do to people around Patrick Mahomes, and that might be where coordinators start. What can you do? Do you bracket some receivers? Maybe you play man over on the edges and you zone up the – I don't know. All I'm saying is that there are things that you can do that and maybe try to pressure Patrick Mahomes. There are things that you can do to those around Patrick Mahomes. I think that might be easier than trying to defend Patrick Mahomes himself, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're probably right. I think it's an interesting situation. I believe in the ability that Patrick Mahomes has, and I think that his ability alone makes it difficult for him to be schemed. Now, there are things that you can do, and there are things that coordinators in the NFL that are facing him for a second or a third and fourth time, if you're in the division, that are going to obviously be designed to slow him down a little bit. I think your point of you try to take things away from people around him is probably a better plan than trying to deal with Mahomes. But I would bet that there is probably a video book now on Mahomes. Where does pressure bother him? Is it coming up the middle? Is it blindside? Do you use safeties to blitz from different angles? What about corners? Can you bring corners? Certainly there's a book on how dangerous he is at a certain particular point in time before he releases the ball. The problem with Mahomes is that metrics kind of go out the window because he has so much ability with his feet to continue the play. The worst thing that can happen to a defense in the NFL is that an offense, you can't keep an offense on time. And all of a sudden, they're extending plays and you're being asked to cover downfield or the middle of the field or wherever, an extra 1,001, an extra 1,002. And that's when Mahomes is at his absolutely most beautiful best.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So you got to keep him on time. If you keep him on time, then maybe you can do some things. The problem with Mahomes is that's the hardest thing for him to do against him, I think.
And you're right on target. You are perfectly on target. And your instance of How do you put pressure on him? Well, here's part of the problem. So let's say, and I'm just going to throw this hypothetically out. Let's say Patrick Mahomes has a problem with pressure up the middle. He doesn't like it because he likes the area that you step up into. But so let's say you take that away from him and he pops out. The problem is right now, where is he more dangerous? Is he more dangerous in the pocket or is he more dangerous on the run? Is he more dangerous out in space? See, therein lies the problem. That's why I say you attack the people around him, because no matter what you do to him and you take whatever you take away from him and you plop him into another area of the quarterback game, wherever he goes, he seems to be so darn good in that area too that all you're doing is shifting one area that he excels in to another area that he excels in. No, you've hit it exactly on the mark. No matter what you do to try to take him out of his game and force him to another part of his game, he's pretty darn good in that area as well. And that's a great point that you just made, Bruce. And that's why Patrick Mahomes, I think, is going to be so hard to defend. I mean, what do you do? I mean, I'm sitting here. I've done this a little bit. You know, I've figured these kind of things out.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I'm telling you right now, I sit back there and I try to take away other things. Maybe I try to blitz him in the middle if that's where his Achilles heel is. I would do that, but the adjustment will finally come. The kid is so darn smart. It's not that he's just a great athlete with a great arm. The kid has football sense. And I'll tell you what, believe it or not, there are people in the NFL that don't have football sense. Now, they have great physicality, and they have a physical presence. But how smart are they when it comes to football? He's got both elements of this.
I think that you've got – the only way that you can really defend him is to take away his spontaneity. If you take away his spontaneity – you have at least taken away his ability to create on the run.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that gives you a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to scheme against him, and there may be certain things that you do to scheme against a quarterback like him, because I agree with you, Paul, the fact that his IQ is so high, he has no fear whatsoever. He's got arm strength, and he can make – any throw on the run,
that's right,
almost as well as he can make from the pocket.
Therein lies the problem.
That's unique, man. That's a generational kind of talent. That's not – you don't have guys like that running around in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. So if you can limit his spontaneity and then try to beat him that way, maybe you've got a chance. Now, look – He lost four or five times last year, times in the regular season and once in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
He's not infallible.
Well, the playoffs, they actually lost that game.
No, I'm not. You great point. And we're going to get into that
here
in the next segment. But, I mean, I would say this, Paul, and I'll ask you the question. If the Chiefs won the division a year ago and were 12-4, aren't they better on paper this year going in?
Well, one would think.
Just because defensively they've made upgrades?
Yeah, and not only that, they're changing their philosophy.
Right?
You know how frustrated I was with the Kansas City defense last year. You know exactly, because I'd text you on an occasion and tell you
I had to shut your text down on Sunday.
Thank you.
Of texting. My goodness.
And most of it was complaints, too. But with that being said.
You weren't blowing sunshine up their backside.
Yeah,
that
was
for sure.
Not a sunshiny day on a few of those days. But the point is that when you look at in getting out of this segment, let me just say this about Patrick Mahomes. There'll be a lot more of this, and that'll be down in distance. What is the formation? And teams will start taking away the go-to receiver in that down and distance and that formation, and teams will and that's how you defend Patrick Mahomes if in a short crash course. Take away what he does based upon down and distance and formation. I guess that's the best I can come up with, Bruce.
That's where you start. That's where you start, because those are the metrics. Have that information at your disposal.
What
are his tendencies on first and short? What are his tendencies on second and long? What are his tendencies on third and five? You have tendencies, at least, that you can work on. But like we said, the X factor with Mahomes is A, his ability, and B, his spontaneity. We're not done with the Chiefs. Kansas City gets the NFL draft. How big of an event will that be in Kansas City coming up in 2023? I'll get it right. And NFL rules changes as we continue. Paul Savage on that side of the aisle. You can be right here too. 869-1240 on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Mariah takes us to break. We're back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.